Okay, we are in the middle of chapter 41. And we just ended with this thought. Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a sentence. We were looking at this level of intention that we're supposed to have in Torah study and mitzvah performance. There is the primary intention, and that is, I love Hashem so much. And how's the way to connect to Him? You love someone, you want to connect. We know how to connect to people, but how do we connect to Hashem? Through Torah study, through mitzvah performance. Hashem's will is Him. Torah, mitzvahs are His will. They are Him. We want to attach to Him. We study Torah and we do a mitzvah. And that is how we attach to Hashem. So I'm running to Hashem to attach to Him through Torah, through a mitzvah. I want to connect my own soul to Hashem. Then there was another intention. And that intention was, I want to attach the source of my soul, which is the Shekhinah, with Kucha Brichu, the Holy One, blessed be He. And in order to have that kind of intention, you need to think nothing of yourself. It has to be only about Hashem. The expression in the Zohar is like a son who loves his parents more than he loves his own self. He cares for them more than he cares about himself. The example that is given is somebody who wants to free his parents from captivity. The reason why he wants to free them is not he wants to meet them or be together with them, just because he cares for their goodness. And about his own goodness, that's not anywhere in the picture. To have that kind of intention, who's the example that the Zohar gives of somebody with that kind of intention? It's Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu. Who are we kidding to say that we're on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu? You know that joke of it's one Yom Kippur and everybody's really serious in shul, and the rabbi is softly striking his chest and saying, I'm a nobody, I'm a nobody. And then next to him is the president. He too is saying, I'm a nobody. Really, I'm no one. And then next to them, or maybe just a few rows back, is another guy who most people unfortunately do consider a nobody. And he's saying, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. And the gabbai elbows the president. He said, hey, look who thinks he's a nobody. So to say that we have no intentions of ourselves, it's like the guy who's saying I'm a nobody. Who do we think we are to say that I have no intentions for myself? And the Alter Rebbe started to say that even though you're really not on that level and you don't want it with your whole heart, you need to get into this habit and you need to do it anyway because to some small degree, your heart desires it. So we left really in the middle of the thought last week. Even though, I'll read the English and then we'll get back to the thought. For though it may not be in his heart, in perfect and complete truth, so that he should long for it with all his heart, for in order to truly do so, one must have attained a totally selfless love for God. Mikol makim me'at mizer chafetz libay bazeh ba'emes. Nevertheless, to some small extent, his heart genuinely desires it. You don't want it with your whole heart? It's not something that's 100% authentic. To some small degree, you do. And the Alter Rebbe will tell us why. Mipnei ahava hativis shebelev kol Yisrael la'asais kol mashu ratzain ha'alien baruchu. Because of the inborn love in every Jewish heart to do whatever is the supernal will of God. So it's not a direct desire. Our direct desire is we want to connect to Hashem. We want to cleave to Hashem. That's true. Our soul runs to Him. It has this innate need to attach. This other meditation, I don't want anything for myself. All I want is for Hashem. Nothing of my own self-interest is involved in this. That's not so authentic. But a little bit we want it. Why do we want it? Because we love Hashem. And because we love Hashem, we want what He wants. What does He want? What is God's deepest desire? You know, if you're going to like search God's very essence, what does He want the most? And this is what the Alter Rebbe says right here. V'yichud zeh hu ritzaynei ha'amiti. And this union, the union of the source of all Jewish souls with the infinite Ein Sof light is His true desire. This is what He wants. What does God want? He wants yichud kucha brichu u'shechinteh. The union of the Holy One, blessed be He, and His Shekhinah. This is a concept that we visited last class and the class before, and that is that Hashem has two lights, as it were, that comes from him. One is a light that pervades everything and relates to each created being according to its nature, its divinely created nature. And then there's that light that is so present, so essential, and we call it encompassing. Not because it's encompassing, it's so fully present. Why do we call it encompassing? We can't relate to it. We are so aloof from it, we don't feel it. What does Hashem want? Hashem wants the union of these two lights. That his light, which totally transcends the worlds, should be drawn within the worlds, and everything about the world should express the essence of Hashem. We achieve that by studying Torah and doing a mitzvah, because our soul comes from Shekhinah, which is the light which pervades all worlds. That's the way the soul of the universe is channeled into it through our Jewish soul, the Shekhinah. And Torah and mitzvah is an expression of the will of Hashem. The will of Hashem is him. It transcends everything. When our soul powers his will, we're drawing down his will into our soul, which means that we're affecting this union of Kutsha Berichu, the Holy One, blessed be he, with his Shekhinah, the indwelling presence of Hashem. Hashem wants that the most. So we're saying, we love Hashem. We want whatever he wants. What does he want? What's his truest desire? His truest desire is this supernal union. He wants the union of Kutsha Berichu and his Shekhinah. And if you remember, in chapter 36, we were saying, Hashem has a desire. And the desire was described a little differently. In chapter 36, the Alter Rebbe quoted from Midrash Tanchuma that Hashem desired to have a dira betachtonim, a home in the lowest realms. So is his desire this or his desire that? And actually, it's one and the same thing. This supernal union is making a home for Hashem in the lowest realms. Hashem created all these worlds that hide him. Hashem created these concealments so that creatures who naturally have no overt awareness of Hashem will come to recognize him. And eventually, this world, which is the lowest of all the worlds, will completely express his essence. That happens when we study Torah, when we do a mitzvah. We're drawing down the essence of Hashem into our souls, into our bodies, into everything of this world that we use to serve him. So when we're sitting on these chairs and we're studying, when we're using a pen, when we're writing, we are now channeling the infinite divine energy into these created things so that they come to express the will of Hashem. So do we desire truly the supernal union? Now you could say, yeah, of course I desire that. But that's not so simple. In order to truly desire it, it means we have no thoughts of self. So to say I desire it wholeheartedly, I don't know if that's authentic, but I can say that I desire it to some extent. Why? Why is that true? Because I have this natural love. I love Hashem. I want what he wants. What does he want? He wants this. He wants this supernal union. V'hainu yichud ha'elyayin sheba atzilas, namely the supernal union in the world of atzilas. So last class, Sheila asked this question and she said, Why is the Alter Rebbe asking us to have such a high level intention? I mean, let's look at the program of the Tanya. The program of the Tanya is that, hey, not everybody is created to be a tzaddik. To be a tzaddik means you have completely mastered your evil nature to the point that either you've done away with it or you have actually transformed it to good so that your evil inclination is now a powerful force for good. And when somebody's evil nature becomes a powerful force for good, it's even more powerful in a way than the divine soul, because it's an animal and it's very excitable. Shlomo HaMelech says there's a great amount of produce that happens with the power of an ox. An animal is strong. If the animal loves Hashem, it is extremely powerful. They tell the story of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev. This is a colleague of the Alter Rebbe, a very passionate, holy man. And it was the first night of Sukkot, and he was waiting all night long because he wanted to shake the Lulav and Esrog. He hasn't done it all year. And he's like looking longingly at the Lulav and Esrog, and morning comes, and he lunges for the Lulav and Esrog, but unfortunately there was glass. So his hand went right through the glass to grab the Lulav and Esrog. And that's because his animal soul has been transformed into a force for good. In order for someone to be on that level, you have to have been born with that capability. Not everybody is born with that capability. Somebody could get it as a gift from above, even though they weren't born with it. That's not the way it usually happens. So the altar said, I'm not asking you to be a tzaddik. Hashem doesn't ask you to be a tzaddik. Hashem asks you to be a benoni. What is a benoni? A benoni is somebody who has desires for evil, but he never gives in. He never gives in on a behavioral level, meaning we think of behavior as just the way we act, but behavior is any of the garments of our soul, any of the way that our soul expresses itself. Our soul has its identity, as it were, which is the intellect and the emotions, and then it has the way it expresses itself. The identity of the soul can't be changed, but the expressions of the soul are thought, speech, and action. So we get that action is an expression, obviously. We get that speech is an expression, that makes sense. But to say that thought is an expression, and the answer is yes. Thought is our soul expressing itself to our conscious self. And we are expected to have mastery even of our thoughts. So we can't control which thoughts come to our head, but we can control which thoughts we choose to entertain. And a Benoni is so masterful at this that he is even able to control his thoughts. As soon as he realizes that the thought is a thought I'm not supposed to have, he quickly diverts his attention and thinks another thought. So that is the level of the Benoni. That is the program of the Tanya. And here the Alter Rebbe is asking us to have the attention of a tzaddik. How does that make sense? So two things. One is the previous Rebbe points out that this meditation comes right after a thought. And what was that thought? That there are some people who not only cannot even have a fear of Hashem in their heart, they can't even conjure that up in their mind, meaning a strong conviction that stays with them all day. What can they conjure up? What level of fear of Hashem can they have? Just the kind of fear that they have, or shame that they have in front of a normal, regular human being, not a king, not somebody prominent, just a regular person. So this person is on a low level. And he too is expected to have this kind of intention. Besides the intention that I'm running to Hashem in love and wanting to connect to him in love, I have this intention that I want nothing else besides the supernal union, the union of Kucha, Brichu, and Shechinte. And that means I care nothing for myself. Even he is supposed to have that kind of intention. Somebody whose soul is on such a low level that it cannot even master up a fear of Hashem in his mind. Why would we ask somebody to have that? And that's because the basis for everything has to be true. If we put ourselves just a little bit this way, then eventually we veer off, God forbid, much, much more. You know, like mathematically, the line can just be just a little bit off track. You trace it and it goes whew, to India, a whole different place. At least we have to know where it's at. If our love for Hashem begins with self and ends with self, then even though in that space we're being 100% authentic, I love Hashem, I yearn to connect with him, this is how I'm satisfying my desire, this is how I'm quenching my thirst. Of course, it's a holy level of self-interest. I mean, come on, isn't that holy? But it does begin and end with self. It's about quenching my thirst for Hashem. Even though our intention of, wait, this is not about me, it's only about Hashem, doesn't seem 100% authentic, it's 100% true. And we need to position ourselves in the space of truth. So we may not get there to 100 degrees, but at least we have to know where it's at. Because if we don't know where it's at, we can end up in a whole different place that we don't want to be. Does that make sense, Sheila? Yes, okay. Now, so where does this supernal union take place? Right now we're studying Torah. We're creating a union. Where is this happening? Well, to some degree it happens in every world, according to that level of the world. But the primary union is happening in the highest world, the world of Atzilus, Atzilut. Namely, the supernal union in the world of Atzilus had not asabis a rusa delasata ayde yichud nefesh alikis vehis kala lusiba or Hashem hamalubash batira umitzvais to isekis bahen, which is produced by an arousal from below through the divine soul's union and absorption in Hashem's light that is clothed in the Torah and the mitzvahs in which it is engaged. So, what did we say until now? We said like this. You know what? To have this kind of love for Hashem that you care nothing about yourself is a very great kind of love. Like, it's beyond you. Nevertheless, just who are you? Think of yourself. I'm a Jewish person. A Jewish person has a divine soul. A divine soul is literally a part of Hashem. I yearn to be connected with him. Because I yearn to be connected with him, I love him. I want to do whatever he wants. What does he want? He wants the supernal union. So because he wants it, I want it. And so do I want it with my fullest heart? No. But to some extent, I do. It's not a direct desire. It's a desire to a desire. I love Hashem. I want what he wants. And he wants this union, so I want the union. So it's a want to want. I heard this great story of a yeshiva student who was trying to get into this exclusive yeshiva many years ago. And he did everything right, but he was honest with himself. It's not really where I'm at. So when he had his interview with the Rosh Yeshiva and only a certain amount of students were going to get accepted there, the Rosh Yeshiva asked him, tell me, do you want to learn? And he said, no, I don't. But I want to learn. And he said, okay, you're in. And that's this. Do you want the supernal union with no self-interest? No, but I want it. I want it because that's what Hashem wants, and I wish I truly had that desire. And that's the classic way to explain this. Do we want it directly? No, but we want it because Hashem wants it. But wait till you see what the Rebbe says. The Rebbe now takes it to a whole different place. And we're going to look at some Hasidic discourses of the Rebbe in explaining this idea of, do we really want the supernal union? And here's from a Maamar, a Hasidic discourse. You don't have it in your book, but I'm just going to read this to you, just an excerpt that the Rebbe gave in 5722, which I think is 1962. And he said like this, the true desire of all Jewish souls is really they're like a son that cares for their parents, cares for his parents more than he cares for himself. But if that's really our desire for every single Jewish person, why don't we feel it? Because it's an encompassing manner. It's something that we don't relate to directly. And the Rebbe gives an example. What is it like? It's like somebody who's standing behind a young child and prodding him to walk. And the child is walking, but he doesn't know why he's walking. He's walking because he's being prodded. So too, we feel this intense yearning for Hashem. We feel this thirst for him, but it's being prodded from something much higher than that. What is it being prodded by? This desire of just wanting nothing for ourselves, only desiring the supernal union for the sake of Hashem. So the Rebbe is saying it really is genuine, but the reason why we're saying it's not wholehearted is because we don't feel it consciously. It's something that acts upon us without us realizing that it's acting upon us, like the young child who's being prodded from behind. He doesn't know why he's walking. There was a lady that brought a question to the Rebbe. She said, how do I know what Hashem wants from me? And the Rebbe, in a handwritten note that we have, wrote to her these amazing words. He said, Hashem midaber yashar, and he underlined that, l'nishmasa, mizeh naifim la hachlates taifes. God is speaking directly, underlined, to your soul, and that's the source of your good resolutions. So sometimes you think like, you know, I have a good thought, I have an inspiration. Where did it come from? Hashem was speaking to your neshama. Did you experience that conversation? Not consciously, but it affected you. So the same thing, truly what do we desire? We really want the union of Kutcha Bricha Hushchinte. We really want nothing for ourselves. Are we conscious of that? No. How is it expressed in our conscious self? It's expressed by our thirst for him. That's what we experience consciously. But actually, this is being prodded from behind, from a much higher place. And in another Hasidic discourse, the Rebbe explains that where does this love come from? In chapter 18 in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe said that we get this love as an inheritance from our patriarchs. And what were they? They were, he quotes from the Medrash, Ha'avais hein hein ha-merkava. The patriarchs constitute the very divine chariot. And that's why we have this love, because they bequeathed it to us. That's where it came from. It came from their total surrender. Total surrender is not about the chariot wanting to have a connection with the rider. It's about, no, I'm just surrendered to the rider. And since that is the source of our love, it's the hidden aspect of our love. And the Rebbe says that, therefore, in the natural love that comes as an inheritance from our forefathers, is included, hiddenly, this love of absolute surrender, that the Jewish person wants nothing for his own self. And what does he want? All that he wants is the revelation of godliness in the world. Giloi Elikus Ba'ilam, the revelation of godliness in this world, so that God's desire of an abode in the lowest realm should be fulfilled. So one thing that we're clear on is that most of us don't experience this consciously. The question is, why don't we experience it consciously? So the classic way of looking at it is, we don't experience it consciously because our experience is one of thirst for Hashem. That means there is some level of self-interest. But we have a relationship with this kind of love. We have a relationship with this kind of intention because we want what Hashem wants. And because He wants this union, so we want that union. But then there's another way of looking at it. True, we don't experience it consciously, but it's a huge, powerful force that goads us from behind. And our overt expression of love is a thirst for Him. But what's influencing that? It's this much greater love, that we want nothing for ourselves. All we want is the supernal union. All we want is that godliness should be revealed in this world. We just want Hashem's dream of a home in the lowest realms to be fulfilled. Nowadays, when we're studying Torah, when we're doing a mitzvah, this is happening primarily in the world of Atzilus. And how is it happening? Because of the effect. The effect that the Zohar speaks of. Issarusa de la Sata, Issarusa de la Ela. An arousal from below causes a corresponding arousal above. What are we doing below? We are drawing down God's will into our soul. So, up above, Kucha Brichu is being drawn into the Shekhinah. It's the same thing. In this world, it's Torah or mitzvah into the soul. In a higher world, in the highest, it is Kucha Brichu, the Holy One, blessed be He, with His Shekhinah, which is produced by an arousal from below through the divine soul's union and absorption in God's light, which is clothed in the Torah and the mitzvahs in which it is engaged. So that they, the divine soul and God, become one in reality, as has been explained above. And thus, one affects the union in the world of Atzilus. Whenever we study Torah, whenever we do a mitzvah, we're literally fusing with Hashem. It is such a wild idea. It's like we can't even imagine, we can't fathom that our soul is becoming subsumed within Him. That's what's happening down here in this world. In the highest world, that's happening too. That's happening through the union of Kucha Brichu Ishchinte. Ki al yidei ze misyachadim gam kein mekor ha-tayra v'ha-mitzvais shehu ha-kadesh baruch hu im mekor nafshay ha-alekis ha-nikr v'shem shechina. For by reason of this, the source of the Torah and the mitzvahs, meaning the Holy One, blessed be He, is united with the source of the individual's divine soul, which is called shechina. Shehein v'chinas m'mali ko amin v'chinas seviv ko amin k'may shenis ba'er b'makim achar ba'arichas. Expressed in the terms of the different levels of supernal illumination, these are the categories of filling all worlds and of encompassing all worlds, as explained elsewhere at length. So these are all parallel. What is parallel? The will of Hashem, Torah and mitzvahs, kucha barichu, seviv ko amin, which is the light which surrounds all worlds. That's all completely transcendent. And then what else is parallel? What else is synonymous? It's our divine soul. It's the Shekhinah. It's the light which pervades all worlds. All of that is synonymous and parallel. We're drawing it down here in this world, and we're causing the union as well in the higher worlds. In summary, since all Jews desire to do God's will and he desires that their souls all unite with their source. There is a measure of truth in a Jew's intent to bring about this union, even if his love of God is not completely selfless. So that's what we just finished. Yes, it's true that it may not feel 100% authentic, but it still is an intention that we're supposed to have. What's the intention? We want nothing for ourselves. All that we desire is the union of the Holy One, blessed be He, with His Shekhinah. And that happens when we draw down Torah and mitzvahs into our soul. A mirror effect happens in the highest world, and we are affecting Hashem's truest desire. We want what He wants. We're making Him happy. That makes us happy. So maybe we don't want it with our fullest heart, but we do want it with our fullest essence, because our essence really wants that. Our conscious self may not be aware of it. So it's 100% authentic. And again, the reason why we even think of having this intention is because it keeps us on track. Our better self has to be in line with Hashem. If it's all about us quenching our thirst for Hashem, then our better self is still stuck in some level of ego, even though so subtly. But that little subtle angle makes a very big difference. So that was all about the second intention. But what about this first intention of wanting to cleave our soul to Hashem? And here the altar is going to say, this love is 100,000,000% authentic. Absolutely. There's no such thing as a Jewish person who doesn't truly want this. Aval yichud nafshay v'hizkalalusa be'or Hashem li'ayis la'achadim. But the union of the person's own soul and its absorption into the light of God, making them one. Bazeh chafetz kol adam Yisrael be'emes la'amitay legamrei v'chol leiv u'v'chol nefesh. This is what every member of Israel desires, an absolute and utter truth with all his heart and all his soul. You'll pull any Jew off the street, he'll tell you he's not a good person, he'll tell you he's not religious. You know what he wants. He loves Hashem and he wants to attach to Hashem. So I don't believe it. It's 100% true. And by the way, I don't recommend you try it out. But if you tell him, you know what? You're just not Jewish. He's going to beat you up. He doesn't want to keep Shabbos. He doesn't want to keep kosher. But don't you dare tell him that he's not Jewish. Even if he'll say he's not Jewish, by the way. But you don't dare tell him that he's not Jewish. Why? Because Judaism is not about what you keep. Judaism is about who you are. And if we're going to define it in one sentence, is I'm somebody who wants to be attached to Hashem. I have a divine soul, which is literally part of Him, and it constantly yearns for connection. That's who a Jewish person is. So there's no such thing as a Jewish person who isn't authentic when he wants to just attach his soul to Hashem. There's nobody like that. Every single Jewish person truly wants to attach to Hashem. Of course, there's some people who have lost touch with that. In essence, even if he doesn't feel that burning in his heart and he says, this is my desire, he's 100% authentic. That's truly who he is. Where does this love come from? May ahava hativis hamisuteres belev kol Yisrael ledavka b'Hashem. Because of the natural love that is hidden in every Jewish heart to cleave to God. Every single Jewish heart has within it this natural love hidden. But it's there. And even if a person doesn't feel it overtly, palpably, as a live emotion, it 100% exists. V'lai li parid v'liyais nichras v'nivdol chas v'shalom miyichudi v'achdu se yisbarech b'shum eifen afilu b'mesiras nefesh mamish. And not under any circumstances to be parted or sundered or separated, God forbid, from His blessed unity and oneness, even at the cost of His very life. This is something that throughout Jewish history, a phenomenon that happened so many times, unfortunately, so sadly, but there were Jews who kept nothing and suddenly they were saying, okay, convert or die, and they died. Why? All their life they didn't live a religious life and suddenly they don't want to convert. What happened? Because they never want to be separated from Hashem. They under this delusion that I'm connected to Him no matter what I do. But when it's like, no, you cannot be connected. Sorry, I won't. As soon as you make it that clear, they're not going to turn the other way. I heard this great story in a class for Rabbi Yossi Jacobson. He was the first Jewish rabbi to address 4,000 U.S. chaplains in the United States. Traditionally, they were addressed by Christian clergy, and General Carver decided to bring in somebody else. And he brought in Rabbi Jacobson. And he spoke so well. that afterwards, General Carver, as it were, complimented him. And he said, you see, you guys, this guy was raised and taught by the Baptists. Look how well he spoke. And Rabbi Jacobson was taken aback, but he was like at a loss. How do I respond? Is he going to speak like in a meek voice and say, no, I didn't learn from the Baptist. Like, or is he going to start fighting with him and say like, how dare you? And he's like saying to himself, my goodness, it was just a joke. Everybody could see I'm wearing a yarmulke, I have payas. Who's going to think? And then he said to himself, Jewish people throughout history have died so as not to be called a Baptist. Am I going to let him call me that? And he said, no, General Carver, I didn't learn from the Baptists. The Baptists copied us. He got a standing ovation. The room was filled with non-Jews. Most of the people there were not Jewish. They got up and they applauded. They felt so good to see a Jew completely identified with who he is. I know that I'm Jewish. I represent that. I will never shy away from it. And I will never turn my back on Hashem. That's the Jewish nature, from the highest to the lowest. This is what the Altar of writes in chapter 18, where he introduces us to this idea. And he says that, as a rule, even the most worthless of the worthless and the sinners among Israel sacrifice their lives for the sanctity of God's name and suffer harsh torture rather than deny God's unity, even if they be boors and illiterates who are ignorant of Hashem's greatness. So the reason why they're giving up their life is not because they have any education. Whatever education that they had wasn't powerful enough to make them give up their life. It was something much deeper, something much more internal, something much more essential. It's their nature. I can never be ripped away from Hashem. So this soul's desire of attaching to Hashem, of wanting to surrender to it, is not its plan B. Meaning it's not like, okay, well, I would like to stay alive, but because you're giving me this choice, I have no choice. And so that's why I'm just kind of sacrificing life. Actually, it's the soul's plan A, and not meaning to say that, God forbid, the soul wants to die, but the soul constantly yearns to transcend. The soul has this flickering motion of always trying to leave, always trying to reach upwards. And this is what the Alter Rebbe writes in the 19th chapter of Tanya, where he speaks about the statement from King Shlomo, King Solomon. He says, Kiner Hashem Nishmas Adam, for the candle of God is the soul of man. And he says like this, the souls of Jews who are called man are by way of illustration like the flame of a candle, whose nature it is to always flicker upward. For the flame of the fire intrinsically seeks to part from the wick that holds it and to unite with its source above in the universal element of fire. The soul naturally desires and yearns to separate itself and depart from the body and to unite with its origin and source in God. Blessed be He who is the fountainhead of all life. The soul has this constant yearning to connect, and it feels limited by the body. Now, of course, a smart soul knows that the most intense connection that we can have with Hashem is when we're in a body. The souls of the greatest people in history are jealous of us who are struggling with an evil nature, who are living a human life and overpowering the darkness. Because the intense connection that we have with Hashem in this world is essence to essence. A soul in the higher worlds can't experience that. If it would, it would just literally dissolve out of existence. So souls in Gan Eden, they bask in delight in the radiance of Hashem. But essence to essence, that's only here. But the soul always has this yearning, desire to surrender to Hashem. It stays here because it knows that this is the will of Hashem. And it knows that this is the place that it can attach best to Him. But it feels so exiled, so shackled by the body. And so when we say that the soul has this natural proclivity to cleave to Hashem and never to separate from Him, it's because that's its nature. It's not just all of a sudden it's no choice, he's going to die rather than turn his back on Hashem. Actually, that's always what he wants to do, not die. He always wants to surrender. The soul always wishes to surrender to Hashem. And this is an idea throughout Tanya that the Alter Rebbe calls upon in order to bring us to a new realization. A Jewish person is somebody who would die for Hashem. Don't die, live for Hashem. There's this great story of Golda Meir, who during the Six-Day War, a lot of English kids came to help for the war. And when the war was over, they went, I think it was the Six-Day War, I don't know which war it was. During a war, a lot of English kids came to help. When the war was over, they were going back home to England. And she said to them, "You are willing to die with us. Why aren't you willing to live with us?" And that's an idea that we have to remember here. Like, the soul is willing to die so as not to depart from Hashem. How about live in that mode of Mesiras Nefesh? Mesiras Nefesh, which means surrendering the soul, we always think of means death. It doesn't mean death. It means living in a mode of surrender to Hashem on a constant basis. And the soul can experience exactly that still while it's in the body. And the Alter Rebbe is going to describe this. The readiness for self-sacrifice surfaces, for example, when a Jew is forced by heathens to bow down to an idol. Even if merely going through the motions would satisfy them and they do not impose their belief upon him, the Jew will be ready to literally sacrifice his life so as not to be sundered from his unity with Hashem. V'esek ha'tayra u'mitzvahs v'hatfila hu'gam kein inyan mesiras nefesh mamish k'may b'tzeisa min ha'guf b'mleis shivim shana. Being engaged in the Torah and commandments and prayer is also a matter of actual surrender of the soul, just as when it leaves the body at the end of 70 years. So first of all, just to clarify, the Alter was saying 70 years, where does that number come from? And it calls upon the words of King David in Tehillim, chapter 90, where he says, Yemei shneisenu bahem shivim shana. Our days in them is 70 years. And the Talmud comments on that. How many are the days of a person? 70 years. So that would be as if to say that that's the natural lifespan, which in fact, when a man reaches the age of 83, he has as though a second bar mitzvah, because he reached the age of 70 and 13 years later, it's like a bar mitzvah. He was like as though reborn. But also, I heard an idea, and I tried to find the source of it. I found little bits and pieces here and there, but not everything in one source. And that is that 70 years is not necessarily a number of years. It's rather the aspect of the animal soul that has to be refined. So the animal soul is primarily an emotional being, and there are seven emotions, and each of those emotions comprise of 10 aspects of the 10 sefirot. So there are 70 aspects of the animal soul, and the lifespan is to elevate and refine those 70 aspects. So we're talking about Mesiras Nefesh, surrender of soul. Surrender of soul is once the soul leaves the body, it gets re-included in Hashem, reabsorbed in Hashem. But that same mode, that same condition, that very same state of being happens soul in body whenever somebody studies Torah, prays, or does a mitzvah. When they're immersed in it in such a way that they actually don't think about other things, then they're experiencing exactly the same thing that the soul experiences when it's in Gan Eden. And this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying right now. She'ena meharharis betzorche haguf, ela machashavta miyuchedes umlubeshes b'aisyes hatera v'hatfila, she'en dvar Hashem umachashavta yisbarech v'hayu la'achadim mamish. For then it does not think of bodily needs, but its thought is united with and clothed in the letters of Torah and prayer, which are the word and thought of God. And they, the soul, and the letters of Torah and prayer, God's thought and speech, truly become one. So you can look at this and you can say, what is the Alter Rebbe saying here? He's saying that once the soul leaves the body, at that point, it doesn't think about the needs of the body. But the Rebbe in his notes points out that this is actually talking about the soul while it's in the body. When a person is completely immersed in Torah and prayer, and they're not thinking about their body at that time, they are completely united with Hashem, and they are having that same experience that the soul has in Gan Eden. And the Rebbe says that you can see that obviously from the continuation of the language over here in the chapter, and scholars have pointed out that it uses the word thought. Now, while the souls in Gan Eden attach to Hashem through Torah, they don't use thought for that. Thought is a mode of this world. It's a garment that exists only in this world. The souls have a different way of attaching to Hashem in the higher worlds. They don't need thought. It's a direct attachment. Here we're attaching through our thought. And at that time, when we are completely immersed in Torah and prayer and not thinking anything of the body at that time, we are having the exact experience of Mesiras Nefesh, surrendering the soul to Hashem. At what are we doing? We are attaching our thought to His thought, our speech to His speech. Like the Nevi Yeshaya says, Udvarei asher samti beficha, and my word which I have put in your mouth. When we are speaking words of Torah, we are speaking God's words. When we are thinking thoughts of Torah, we are thinking God's thoughts. We have effectively surrendered our soul to completely channel the divine through ourselves, thinking nothing of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at our nature as a Jewish person. What is a Jewish person? Somebody who yearns to attach to Hashem. Is that yearning, is that desire authentic? I mean, the other desire of just wanting the union of Kutcha Brichu and Shechinte didn't seem 100% authentic. The Alter Rebbe says, absolutely. This union is 100% authentic. You wanting to completely absorb in Hashem is 100% authentic. Why? Because Jewish person has a hidden love that it yearns to attach to Hashem. It never wants to be separated from Him. When could it experience this kind of surrender of the soul? Not just once it leaves the body. Even while it's in the body, it can experience this kind of attachment, this kind of absorption. When we think His thoughts, when we speak His words, our soul is surrendered to Him. Mesiras Nefesh, surrender of the soul. We keep thinking of Mesiras Nefesh as self-sacrifice, and it is, but it doesn't mean giving up life. It means surrendering so that we're totally one with the divine. And it's important to realize that the Alter Rebbe is not asking us to change into a person that we're not. He's asking us to be our truest self. It's not like Hashem says to you, you know what? You really are this animalistic creature and all you could think about is the body. But stop it. I want you to think about me. No. Hashem is saying, you are a part of me. Your deepest essence is one with me. You've always been part of me. I've put you in a body and you're still one with me, but you don't feel it. I want you to reconnect to your truest self. Get in touch with that, that you truly and sincerely desire to be connected to me. And we're going to continue this thought next class, but Hashem, I'm going to summarize what we said until now. And that is, we started off by saying that even though our desire to just for the supernal union, which means nothing of our own desires, just only desiring what Hashem wants, isn't 100% authentic, we want it to some degree. Why do we want it to some degree? Because we love Hashem. And since we love Hashem, we want what He wants. What does He want? He wants this union. So because He wants this union, we want that union. And then we looked at it from a deeper space where the Rebbe says that actually we really, really desire it, but we don't feel it. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful force that acts on us in a way that we're not consciously connected to it. So what we feel is the thirst. But the essence of that thirst is just deeply desiring the revelation of godliness in this world, wanting nothing for ourselves except for Hashem's wish to be fulfilled and having an abode in the lowest realms. And then in talking about how this unification happens, the Alter Rebbe said it happens through us engaging in Torah and mitzvahs in this world. When we speak words of Torah, we are drawing down His will into our soul, and a mirror effect happens in the highest world, the world of Atzilus. But the first intention of wanting to cleave to Hashem, that is 100% authentic. That is the nature of every single Jewish person. Every Jewish person yearns to connect to Hashem and never wants to be parted from Him, even at the point of Mesiras Nefesh, which means giving up life. It doesn't have to mean giving up life. It means surrendering the soul. The soul can be surrendered in this world, body and soul, every time it engages in Torah study, every time it speaks words of prayer, when it is so deeply immersed that it thinks nothing of the body's needs at that time. At that time, it's literally in a mode of Mesiras Nefesh, surrender of the soul. And Alter Rebbe was going to say this is exactly what the souls do in Gan Eden, and we're going to talk about that next class. And I'm opening up now for questions and discussion.